This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 261 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
How's it going, buddy?
Pooped. I'm tired. It's been a long week. I looked at my list. I think I watched all the stuff we're supposed to, but I honestly didn't watch anything extra. Like, I never got around to Mortal Kombat. I don't think I picked up any extra stuff. Like, I'm just beat, man.
Well, I did not finish Invincible. I had half an episode left to watch, and then I just went to bed last night instead.
Nice.
Otherwise, I think I watched everything, but here's the thing. It was such a long week. I don't remember everything.
Outstanding.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure.
Like, you watched stuff earlier in the week, and you were like, this is great. And then you come to the end of the week, and you're like, did I watch that? What was it about?
Well, like, last Tuesday, because we're recording on Monday, April 26th. Last Tuesday, I watched both episodes, the new episodes for us, if you will, of Them and The Nevers. And that was like a painful evening.
That sounds very painful to combine those. Fuck.
So let's go to Them. And I know I messaged you about this. And the comment I made was, is that I don't know, like, I want to like the show. Like, I want to, you know, but I wish this was just a movie and not a show, because I don't care about all the race stuff. Like, I don't care to watch. And I know it's supposed to add to the story, but it just seems excessive. And maybe it's not excessive. Maybe that's how it was. And I don't know, because I didn't grow up in the 50s during this time frame, and where you have your whole white neighborhood that hates this family that moved in just because they're black and treats them like crap because of it. And I think what I'm pissed off the most about is, and now that I'm talking a lot about it, is that Lucky, the wife, doesn't stand up for herself. She lets everyone shit on her, and she just sits there and grits her teeth and doesn't try to explain, like, oh, your son was pissing on my sheets, and then he tried to hit me with a stick, and that's why I was chasing after him, because I wanted to tell his parents. No, she just grits her teeth and storms off and lets everyone talk shit about her, and I have issues with that, you know, and I don't like that as a character. And I know it might be leading to something, but it's taking – I'm only three episodes in, and it's just like, I don't know if I can make it to the 10th episode. Like, I want to like it. I want to watch it, because I want to see what happens.
I'm literally exhausted by it. Like,
yes.
And I know I just got done saying that I'm exhausted this week anyway, but I'm exhausted by this show already.
Yeah. And
it's just, it's this, the pacing is very slow.
It's too methodical. It's like,
and it does put me on edge, like, watching this stuff happen. Like, it really makes my, and that's probably part of it. Like, that's probably how it's intended to be. It's supposed to make you feel cringeworthy. You know, it's supposed to make you feel like this is not right, because it's not right.
Well, we just watched Lovecraft Stories. Lovecraft Country, sorry, which dealt with this same type of racial subject matter.
Yep.
But their presentation of it didn't piss me off, if you will. It didn't make me uncomfortable. It didn't drive me crazy to the point where I didn't want to watch the show. Like, this is legitimately driving me away from the show. And maybe that's the creator's intention. The creator's intention is to make people not want to watch it unless it's his market that he's focusing on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm curious what it's about because it is horror related, and that part of it's interesting. Mm-hmm. The part of it that's not interesting is the constant racism, because yes. it's excessive. You know, like the husband, Henry, you know, going to work and his boss, treating him like shit. And then we get the wife constantly being treated like shit by the neighborhood. And then the neighbor that, Henry buys his family a TV and brings it home. And then he's putting the antenna up on the roof and the three neighbors come around and they, you know, again, two of them are one of them is really being the leader. It doesn't matter. He talked them all down. I get it. You know, he stood up for himself, which was great, but it's just, it's nonstop. Mm-hmm. There's no let up.
Correct. And again, that could be the intention, you know?
Yeah.
This is something that is happening right now, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of this being talked about. So maybe it is that intention that they really want you to feel uncomfortable, that they really want you to look at it and say, this isn't right. So that then you look around the world and say, it's not right that it's happening now either. Yeah. But yeah, it's rather exhausting at this point. And maybe that's also part of it. Maybe because all of this is also happening in the world around us. It's like, you know, we watch shows for escapism, you know, you work in dispatch, but you can watch The Rookie and not feel like you're still at work. Like
yes.
It's escapism for you.
Right. Despite exactly. The fact
that it still deals with cops and dispatch and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. This feels very real.
Yeah. The Nevers was also on this week, and mm-hmm. Again, I think is it the episodes are too long?
This one felt really long, and it felt really just absolutely filled with exposition. Like this was so many people just talking and explaining things and talking and explaining things, and you know, the exploitation of the girls, like, oh, we're going to have a party where a bunch of rich people are going to come gawk at you and, you know, donate to our charity because we're basically doing a circus sideshow thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. We get more of Malady's story about how Scotland Yard's hunting her down. And we get what's her face helping the detective. I just part was the prostitute who when people are around her, it causes them to tell them all of her secrets.
Well, especially when they get worked up.
Yes, when they get worked up or angry or whatever it is. And so when they're having sex, obviously they're worked up. And so she, you know, like she's looking for help because this guy that one of her Johns was basically like, hey, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. How do you know this? Well, he told me while we were having sex. That was the awkward part, you know, like.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but then she can't remember the stuff because it's not like she has a photographic memory. You know, people just tell her stuff all the time. So it goes in one ear out the other.
Yep.
She almost made it sound like part of her curse is that she can't remember it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I liked her. I liked how Amelia True used her
took her right down to the police station. Put your jacket on. I said, put your jacket on.
Yeah. And got the detective, if you will, or the inspector, as they call him then, to basically express how he really feels. And so Amelia's like, great. Now I can trust you. Cause I know what it is that I know what you stand for basically. Mm-hmm. And so now she feels she can trust him and work with him. And at the same time, she was brutally honest with him to an extent. So he's like, oh, okay. And they work together very well to, you know, but again, it felt like this was just too much. It's like, this should have been two episodes of a show. Especially seeing how, you know, that this is, you know, a six episode TV show, if you will. At least six episodes. I don't know how many it actually. Oh, no, it's 12. Sorry. Oh, 12 episodes of a TV show. They're going to do six now and then really six like in the fall or whatever it is. But you know it's 12 episodes of a TV show, and they just cram so much into this one.
So much.
Yeah, and for a Joss Whedon thing, I mean, he allegedly directed this. It doesn't feel like a Joss Whedon thing to me. I could be wrong.
No, no, and this is the one that he walked away from.
But right, but still he
created by him.
And no, no, he directed the first two episodes before he walked away. Actually, no, he directed three episodes before he walked away.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so no, he directed and wrote the first one, but he directed many of these. So this is and it just doesn't feel to me like a Joss Whedon thing.
It did in some areas, having the large number of women that all talk to each other. That feels like something that he was good about.
Yep. Yeah, okay, I do see that, but...
But the rest of it, no, there's...
The rest of it...
There's a fantasy... it doesn't have the charm of Firefly. It doesn't have the intrigue of Dollhouse. It doesn't have the pluckiness of Buffy.
Exactly. It's just... I don't know if I'm going to keep watching it, to be honest. I mean, I may. It's not going to be a priority.
I watched it today because I was like, oh, crap, I've still got to watch that.
Oh, so you – okay. All right. So that's probably why it's on your – and then, of course, the Lavinia Bidlow, who is the benefactor in the wheelchair for the touched, if you will, apparently is also working for the doctor that is kidnapping them and torturing them.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to make the ship work again, because I don't know if she wants to become touched, so maybe she thinks she'll walk again.
And we got to see the tragic tale of that one girl who, like, you know, was trying to get help and then got sucked in and then got the weirdest kind of lobotomy, because it looks like they just shaved off part of her skull.
But they did something to her, and they put her to work, I don't know. It doesn't... Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, we're good tonight. We're like,
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
This Is Us was a show that was not on this week.
By the way, that one, they're going to have 16 episodes total. It comes back May 11th, and we're going to get the last episode on the 25th. So they're just pushing right through starting on May 11th. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's gone for now.
I'm trying to remember, was Zoe on this past week?
Yes. This is the one that picked up literally where the last one left off with her talking to Emily.
Oh, fuck. I forgot to watch it then.
Okay. It was very good. It definitely delves into what's going on with Emily. And, okay. Yeah, I enjoyed it. One of my notes was actually lots of stuff here. Bernadette Peters returns in this one.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll hold on to that one.
All right. Well, it's not on this week. It's not back until May 2nd. So.
Okay.
That's on me. I told you I forgot to. I didn't finish Invincible. I got like 20 minutes left, but if you want to talk about it, I won't hurt my feelings.
I love some of the things in here. One thing, I saw an article and I was reading up on it. So the title card gets bloodier every episode. I don't know if you've noticed
this. I noticed that. Yes, I did. I did.
And they said that it does mean something. It's building towards more. So you had 20 minutes left. Did you actually get to see any of the big battle in the tower?
No, okay. I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then we're not going to talk about that part, but I will say some of the highlights for me. Masahiro Ali as Titan. Awesome. Love him.
Nice.
Love the character. You know, the guy who covers himself in rock.
Yes. Yeah.
Jeffrey Donovan as Machine Head.
Oh, that's cool.
The crime boss who basically has a robot head. And
I remember him.
Jeffrey Donovan's awesome voice. I love it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw him or not, but there's somebody introduced here, Battle Beast, who looks like a giant cat with a great big old fucking hammer.
I did not see him.
Michael Dorn plays Battle Beast.
Oh, that's a great voice.
Oh, it's a great voice. Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about this because there was some stuff that went on in here. Most of it happens in the end. This is building up. We get to see more of Titan's story. Because if you remember, Titan appeared a couple episodes ago. He was trying to rob a bank and Invincible stopped him.
Yep.
And so now we get a little bit more of his story. He kind of becomes a sympathetic character. And he's working for Machine Head because basically Machine Head's like, I will kill your family if you don't.
Yep.
So it's the whole, you know, oh, one more job and you're out. And then he does one more job. Machine Head's like, fuck you. You're never out. I own you. So he basically talks to Invincible and he's like, hey, help me. Let's take this bad guy down. And the battle is great.
It said that. The title is That Actually Hurt. So I'm assuming Invincible gets hurt somehow.
That would be a good assumption.
If, you know, because it's called That Actually Hurt. And then the next episode is called You Look Kinda Dead, which makes me assume that Mark looks really fucked up in this. So.
Those are some good assumptions.
Yeah. But all right. No, I'll finish it. I do plan on finishing it.
Okay.
Young Rock. It was good.
Boogie board episode.
Yep, it was good. It's a show I enjoy, but it teaches us lessons. But I think my favorite part was he's having a debate with Howard Taft's great great grandson or something like that.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny. And then basically he's like, well, let me tell you a story. So he tells a story about the boogie board
a short story
and this and that, and then it gets over and they're like, everyone claps for him and everything, and the other guy's like, you call that a short story? You're 20 minutes over your time, which is funny because you know, you get 2 minutes and he's 20 minutes over, and they go to credits. So I thought that was good.
I like that this guy was talking, you know, he was talking smack about The Rock and you know, bragging about being the great great grandson of William Howard Taft. And, you know, The Rock's like, yeah, he was the only president to ever get stuck in the bathtub. And he's like, that's a legend. And he's like, no, it's a fact. You can look it up.
Yeah. His mom is going to try out for Star Search, but then decides not to because she gets invited to go to L.A. But she doesn't want to live on the road and be away from her family. So she gives up her own dream. Or to stay home and be you know, to be with her son and her family, but at the same time,
Rocky basically, like, the way he laid it out, he's like, oh, you'll be on the road, I'll be on the road, it'll be great. She's like, well, what about Dewey? And he's like, nah, he can split his time between you and me, it'll be fine, no problem. Yeah.
And she didn't like that. So I do like the show. You know, it does get kind of better and better. Has good episodes, has bad episodes. I'd be surprised if it got a second season, quite frankly.
Yeah, it feels like it could easily be a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah, it does.
Because I can't imagine he has that many more stories that he could, you know, dig up.
Oh, you know, realistically, I'm sure he does. It wouldn't surprise me. It really would not surprise me. So, what else? Oh, Debris, another NBC show.
Debris. So, did it feel like we missed an episode here?
It certainly did. It certainly did feel like
we aired them out of order or something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm glad you said the same thing.
Okay. Good. Yeah,
please. Okay, so episode 7 was the one that took place in Maine, right?
Yes.
With a little girl and you know, all that stuff like that. And then at the end of the episode, Fiona's sister calls her, basically saying, hey, I need you to come home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, but Priya, whatever, Fionnuala's handler is the one that actually pushed the call.
Right.
And then we cut to, you know, Brian getting a call from Maddox basically saying, you know, we know where George is, we got to rescue him. And then the episode ends with Brian telling her, Maddox knows where your father is. And then it literally cuts to, like, them preparing to go get George. But it's like we missed a whole ton in between somehow. You know,
yeah, like now suddenly they're best friends. They're working together. They're literally turning on their bosses with each other. You know, bosses tell them something and they turn right and they go, hey, by the way, he wants me to kill your dad.
Well, that was the other thing too. All right. But here's the bigger thing, though, is when the episode starts, Fiona walks in, and Maddox is given the, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go get George and da 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 da.
Like, what's she doing in there?
And then Fiona walks in. He's like, oh, hey, Fiona, I'm glad you're here. Let's get to, and basically now she's aware that they're going to go rescue George.
Yeah.
And but it's like, but Maddox had just said don't tell her, or doesn't want Brian to tell her. But now Maddox is telling her. So I'm like, well, what the fuck did we miss there? And then, yeah, you're right. Because then Priya calls Fiona and is like, hey, after your dad gets out of there, we're going to cut off your caravan and we're going to take you and your father and rush you to an airplane and get you on an airplane, get you back to the UK. And Maddox is like, I don't care what you do. Don't let Fiona in the house. I'm sending, because basically it's Fiona and Brian and two other guys are the only ones that are going to make entry. Apparently one of them is working for Maddox and is going to kill George. The other one is working for Priya, is going to help Fiona escape. So, okay. Like, that seems convenient. And basically we have this extended scene of Brian feeling guilty and Maddox talking him into doing this and saying George isn't getting out of the house. They get in together in their fucking RV and Fiona's just like, Priya said that we're going to intercept the caravan after we get my father and they're going to rush us back to the UK. And Brian's like, not if your dad's dead. What do you mean? I'm turning my head back and forth. Well, Maddox said, he can't be leaving, you know, he's not coming out of this mission. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. You know, like, it was,
it wasn't bad at all. It just felt like we missed something. Like there was a filler episode in there that just didn't get aired, or that they aired them out of order because they were like, let's do this. And
yes, you're right. That's what it feels like. We missed an episode. Like there should have been an episode in between 7 and 8. That kind of closed the gap between this and why all of a sudden Maddox knows that Fiona knows. And it just felt like something was missing. Now, after all that, it may sound like I'm bitching and complaining. I'm not. I enjoy the show. I really like this episode. They made it kind of make sense, you know? And
yeah,
the other two guys,
which is great.
Yeah. The other two guys die. They get George out of there. Brian's basically like, hey, the only other person that, because they rescued other people from there, and the only other person that was with them took them away to get them help. So he didn't see George. The only people that know George is actually alive and was actually in the house is Fiona and Brian. So they both lie to their handlers saying, yeah, he wasn't there.
Yep.
You got bad intel, et cetera, et cetera. And then Fiona's sister calls and says, like, oh, hey, your boss was there making me make that phone call. That's why I used our secret code and da-da-da.
Right.
So they really divulged, whatever, a lot of information.
Yes.
In these episodes. So anyhow.
Yeah, again, it was good. It just felt like there was something missing there.
Yeah, and then there's something, like George was resurrected. He doesn't remember everything. They need him to build something.
His hippocampus between the long-term and short-term memory, and that the way he understands it, a person can only be resurrected once.
Yeah. And then they end the episode with him oddly covering himself with a aluminum foil to go to sleep. Which I feel like there's a reason they're showing that to us.
Yeah.
And hopefully the next episode kind of makes it make
sense.
Maybe
he vanishes underneath it like it's a teleporter kind of thing.
I don't know. Here's what I do know. I don't know how many episodes this season's going to be. We're already on episode 8. We have 2 episodes left to go. It kind of feels like we're winding down to a season finale already.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Because, I mean, we've kind of met the big bad guys. We're gearing up. We've rescued Dad. So, yeah, I could see that.
I do hope this gets renewed for a second season because they really haven't even touched on the debris yet. Like the whole story's been about George and we're solving that story. But apparently there's going to be 13 episodes, maybe. According to IMDb. I think it says there's going to be 13 episodes. Yeah. But they've only got info up to episode 10. Next episode is Do You Know Icarus? And then I Am Icarus. Sounds like a two-parter. Anyhow.
I am Icarus.
No, that's I am Iron Man. Fuck it. I am Iron Man. He should have said fuck it. That would have been better.
Yeah. Do the one F-bomb that they're allowed.
What else we got?
The rookie?
Okay, so it's called Fresh Blood or New Blood or whatever. And it starts out called
Not Long Lasting Blood.
Well, okay. So remember we talked 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, like, are they going to introduce us new characters? Are they going to bring in new characters for the show, new rookies? You know, these two rookies are out. And they did. And what's the guy's name? He's been in a bunch of stuff.
I just always call him Parkman. Greg Grunberg.
Yeah, okay. So we see him, and I'm like, oh, shit. They're bringing him on the show, huh?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's a huge fan of Nolan. Nolan's story inspired him, and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, and he discharges his firearm in his first roll call briefing, and he washes out.
After announcing that his nickname is Badger, you know.
Yep.
Because you gotta give him some credibility before you then drum him out 5 seconds into the episode.
Yep. Yep. So he's out. And then we get another rookie. I guess it'd be Bradford's new rookie. And she's former military. And this was an interesting episode. And I actually, I really appreciated it, to be honest. Because it actually really showed that there is no cookie cutter training system for people in public safety.
Okay.
You know, and B,
it also showed us that Bradford is still the strongest character on the show for that reason. Continue.
Absolutely. Yes. Like, for instance, say in dispatch, you have your standard 1 week of terminal operator school you have to go to. You have to go to ETC, you have to go to EMD, you have to go to EFD, you have to go to E911. Okay. Those are the schools you have to go to get your certifications to do the job, plus CPR if you don't have it. You have to have those. Otherwise, you have a training system, and you really need to take your trainee and figure out the best way for them that they learn and then teach them. And you have to teach them in a way which you can get your message across, because any good trainer doesn't just train one way, one cookie cutter way. They look at their trainee and they figure out the best way for them to learn so they can get their message across to them or get them to understand what you're doing. Because your ultimate goal as a trainer is for your trainee to succeed. And this is what Bradford does in this episode. He has his trainee. He finds out that, you know, she's former military. She served several tours, et cetera, et cetera. And Chen is immediately jealous because Bradford lets her drive. Bradford buys her coffee. He kind of does some case reports so she doesn't have to write the report. And Chen's pretty jealous of it all because she's like, wait a second. You basically shit on me for months and months and months, and you never let me drive, and you give me all these tests, and you did X, Y, Z, and all this stuff, and you essentially tortured me. And yet you're nice to her? I don't get this. And he basically says, yeah, well, because, you know, she was in the military. Basically, I need to teach her that not everybody's the enemy, not everybody's a bad guy, and that she needs to appreciate life and just take pause for the little moments. Whereas I needed to teach you that everybody's a bad guy, you know, just the opposite, you know, because of Chen's sunny disposition of life and everything, and this other trainee's not so sunny disposition of life and everything. And you're right. It shows that he is the most powerful and most interesting character on the show because he completely, like, he's a hard ass, but he's a hard ass who wants his rookies to succeed, his boots to succeed. So he'll do whatever he can to make them succeed, short of lying for them, if you will, and covering up for them when they screw up.
Right.
Which I respect 1,000%. And I realize this is a fictional character we're talking about. I don't care. I still like it. Like, the way the writers have written Bradford's character, like, they could literally write a lesson on how to train people.
Yes, I was going to say, he may be a fake character, but somebody wrote him that way. They didn't send this actor on there and say improv.
Yep. Right.
Like, this is the way that the character was created.
Exactly. And, you know, he does give Chen her props, like, maybe someday she'll be as good as a cop as you are. So Chen's all like, yeah. Bradford said he was proud of me. Um, But yeah, and then this rookie, you know, basically she washes out. And not washes out, but she decides, well, look, I need to get away from this. I came from the military life, like you said. She talks about not suspects, but enemies.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She uses terminology like she's still in the military. Mm-hmm. And of course she gets into some big wild shootout, her first day on the job, if you will. And this is where Bradford has a little weakness, because when she basically says, I'm going to put my resignation in because I need to find myself and I need to live life not in a military-esque form while I still have a chance. And he's like, no, I'm not going to accept your resignation because I can help you get there. I can show you the way. So it's almost like this is a challenge for him and he wants this challenge. And she's like, I appreciate that, but no. And he's like, okay, but you know what?
Yeah, he's like, okay.
But your certification is good for 3 years. So, you know, in the next 3 years, if you change your mind, you know, you'll have a place here type of thing.
Yep.
But yeah, they washed out the two newbies already. So.
Yeah. So what the hell?
Yeah. We'll see what happens. No episode this week. No episode yesterday. Next episode's back next Sunday. Or new episodes next Sunday.
Right. I'm looking at my stuff, like, some of mine that I watch that you don't watch, like Prodigal Son. I can't remember. I think I got all the way through it and it's still fantastic. They've really leaned into Catherine Zeta-Jones' character. What else? No. Oh, New Amsterdam. I can't remember if I watched it or not. I don't really care.
I'm all done.
And I think that's it. Like I said, it was a rough week for me. So other than that, we just got Falcon and Winter Soldier. Oh, I will say this.
The Connors was good.
Excellent.
If you like Roseanne, you love this show. Keep going with it.
One thing is the other night I was with my girlfriend and we were hanging out. We got talking about something. We get on from these random conversations and it's just great. It's friggin' awesome. But we got talking about something and I made some kind. Oh, we were talking about New Girl. And she's like, I love Coach. He's so good. And I was like, damn it. Cause that's Damon Wayans Jr. And I was like, hold on. We had to go into Target for something. I was like, when we come out, we're sitting here for 21 minutes and we were watching the first episode of Happy Endings.
I knew you were going there.
And we sat right in my vehicle and I brought it up my phone and we watched the first episode. And she's like, yeah, I can watch this. Let's watch this together. And I'm like, great. So while we had our weekend away, we watched a couple more episodes, but we watched them in the correct order.
I'll say, I hope you watched them in the correct order, because when I showed them to Kate for the first time, we watched them in the correct order.
Yes. And I explained that to her. And she's like, why would they do that? And I'm like, it's stupid. They do that sometimes for marketing purposes. Like they think that, you know, oh, this is too much of a depressing thing about their breakup. So we want to get to the funny, happy stuff. And I was like, but no, we're going to watch it in the right order. She's like, damn right we are. So we've seen like 3 or 4 episodes.
Nice.
It's a great show. I keep forgetting until I actually watch it and I see the credits pop up that this was the Russo brothers. You know, this was Winter Soldier Russo brothers. This was Civil War Russo brothers. That made this gem of a fucking sitcom.
I Kate's been binging Big Bang Theory.
Awesome.
And we're on season 11. So we only have one more season left. And she's been like, what am I going to watch after this? And I'm like, I don't know, honey. You'll have to figure that one out. Because, like, she wants a simple, mindless show that she can just throw on that's 20 minutes long. And she obviously pays attention, but mostly background noise. You know what I mean? Like she watches the show. She appreciates the show. But like she doesn't want an hour long show, if you will, which is, I realize, only 44 minutes because it's too long. 44 minutes is too long. She'll sit and watch 3 episodes of Big Bang Theory. So she can watch an episode of another show. But she likes the fact that it's over and done within 22 minutes type of thing.
I can feel that.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I almost feel about stuff right now. Like part of me is like, I'm glad we don't actually watch a lot of stuff right now. Cause like I gave up on Superman and Lois. So I almost feel like too quickly, but
I mean, they kind of gave you no choice because they went on hiatus. So, you know, they're the ones that pulled the plug before you did.
But I still was just kind of like, meh.
Yeah. It's, you know, you've also gone back to working in the office, so you have less time to watch shows.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather's getting beautiful. So there's more stuff to do outside. You know, I'm certainly spending more time with Julia.
Yeah.
And so I get it, you know. Summer is usually our thin time anyway. You know, it's when we pick up stuff. We're like, I guess we could watch this. But even the stuff that's coming out now, it's not entertaining us. It's not interesting us as much.
Yeah, it's really not. It's just not.
Nope.
So the only other show we have to talk about is Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Correct.
So we're going to hold off and talk about that at the end. I watched two movies.
I watched zero movies.
I watched Winter Soldier, Captain America Winter Soldier. My daughter wanted to watch it, so of course.
Phenomenal movie.
It really is a phenomenal flick. I mean, there's really not much I need to talk about with that one. My son and I, we did watch Mortal Kombat.
Okay. I am definitely planning on watching it, but what was your thoughts, take, etc.?
That did not live up to the hype.
It's a video game movie, so I'm really not surprised, but
I mean, it's what's the premise of Mortal Kombat, the video game, John?
A bunch of guys killing each other, trying to rescue Outland from, Shao Kahn.
Okay. But is it not a tournament? It's a tournament, correct?
It's a tournament, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like every Mortal Kombat video game is a tournament. Mm-hmm. You have good guys, you have bad guys.
Why they have stages, you know, specific fighting arenas.
Yeah, you have good guys, you got bad guys, but at the end of the day, it's a tournament, correct?
Mm-hmm. I would say that is a fair assessment.
It's not a team sport, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, the only people who would ever be considered a team were Jax and Sonya because they work together, you know, in the military, and even they would kick the shit out of each other. So no.
Okay. All right. Well, so the movie is very violent. There's a lot of violence in it. It's very gory. A lot of blood and guts in it. So I appreciate that. The story is very basic.
Yeah, because they got to fit in all the fighting.
I'll just say there's no tournament. No tournament.
Even though in the preview, she specifically talks about the dragon symbol being a symbol for a tournament.
Yeah, there's no tournament to speak of. There's a bunch of fights, people fighting each other.
Outstanding.
And the fights are good. There's some good fights. Well, the fights in the Raid Redemption were probably better. I don't know. It didn't live up to the hype for me. I really can't wait for you to watch it so you can get your opinion in here.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you said is not dissuading me because I want to see it
just
if for no other reason than to form my own opinion.
The character that stole the show, the movie, if you will, is Kano.
I assumed that from what I saw in the preview because he seemed like he was the comic relief. And in fact, I saw an interview that asked why Johnny Cage wasn't in the movie. And they said that that both of those characters, in their opinion, were scene stealing comedy and they didn't want to have two of them competing with each other.
So
I figured they'd just go with one.
Yep. So if they do a sequel, I'll watch a sequel, but I wouldn't rush out to watch this again.
From what I understand, they're already working on the sequel.
Yeah. I definitely would not rush out and watch this again.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. You got any trailers you want to chat about or news? Oh,
yes, sir. I've got trailers and news out the wazoo. Well, only three trailers, but, news. So the first one, we got a full actual trailer for MODOK.
Oh, and you know what? Fucking genius.
Yes, it's going to be fucking amazing. Cannot wait to see this. Mm-hmm. So bring on MODOK. A surprising gem that I got a trailer for from Independent Films was Werewolves Within.
Yeah, this looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like a comedy whodunit. murder mystery, small town, somebody or somebodies might be werewolves. Lots of B-list stars, but like good B-list stars. Yeah, I can't wait to see this. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. I'm really excited about it. It's a werewolf flick, so that's cool.
Yeah. And then we got a little tiny teaser, but still a fucking great teaser for Dexter, the reboot. Yep. And it was just the log with the axe in it. And he's talking about how it is, how it's great to get back to nature, and he could feel nature calling him. You're like, yeah, double entendre, bitches.
Heck yeah. His dark passenger, as he used to call him. He'll be back. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Dexter. It's out this it's assumed to be this fall. There's no actual release date yet. It's a 10-parter. Most likely I'll wait for all 10 parts to be out, and then I'll get a month of showtime.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is I refer to that as the Mike method.
Yes, sure. I'll take that.
News. Got some interesting stories this week. One of the big ones, it's one of those that like made all kinds of headlines, but for no reason. Emilia Clarke is going to be joining the Secret Invasion TV series.
Yep.
No word on what role, whether she'll be a Skrull or a human or a hero or villain or what. Just she's joining. Great. Tell me more. Come back to me when you have actual info.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's it was OK.
Yeah. So.
I tagged you in a trailer for that's
right.
Did you watch it yet?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a I don't know if you want to call it a special, but it's a documentary, if you will, coming to Hulu. And it looks really interesting. It's called Summer of Soul. And July 2nd it comes out. And apparently there was the same year as Woodstock. There was another musical festival in Harlem. That was all black musicians, and it looks really, really, really good.
They said that it was videotaped or it was recorded, but never seen until now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was never released for some reason, but it's got Stevie Wonder, Nina Simone, Sly and the Family Stone, Gladys Knight and the Pimps, B.B. King, Fifth Dimension, Pips. And more. So Pips. Yeah. Pimps. Sorry. Pips. But old it looks. Band. Yeah, I know. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
It looks really good.
You sent that to me this evening, and I had just gotten done looking at an apartment, and it popped up, and I was like, ooh, and Julie and I watched it, and she's like, yeah, I'll watch that with you. I'm like, great, we got something to watch.
Yeah, it looks real good, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
You shared with me the picture of
the Guardians script. Of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Yes.
And the best part about it was it's the cover page for it. It's written by James Long Elf Gunn.
Yep.
And he said, this is the wrapping. The present is inside. Apparently it's coming in like 2022 or something. But the best part was Mark Hamill responded to it and said, I have a very bad feeling about this. Perfect. Because it's a holiday special, you know, and he's referencing the ill-fated Star Wars holiday special. Ah, classic. Loved it. So interesting news here. Disney and Sony have kind of inked a deal.
Okay.
They're going to give streaming and TV rights for Sony Pictures' new releases, including the Spider-Man movies, to Disney's many streaming and linear services, but it's complicated. Yeah. So, it says that it includes Sony's new theatrical releases between 2022 and 2026, as well as titles from their existing library, with releases heading to Disney Plus, Hulu, ABC, Disney Channels, Freeform, FX, National Geographic as appropriate. Specifically called out Sony Pictures Universal of Marvel character films, which would include any Spider-Man films, as well as spin-off characters like Venom, Morbius, Kraven, Into the Spider-Verse, the upcoming sequel. So earlier this month, I had talked about a news story where Sony made a deal with Netflix saying that when stuff came out of the theater, they could get it. So like Spider-Man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So basically it says that those movies would go to Netflix during what the industry calls pay one window, and pay one is includes Historically, that would have been the period after theaters, but before home video. That time period, you could catch the movie on HBO or pay-per-view or something like that. Typically lasts about 18 months. Disney's deal will kick in after that window. So once a movie's out of the pay one window, then you might see like Hotel Transylvania or Jumanji or whatever pop up on Hulu or Disney Plus. So it's going to be interesting. You know, we will like, so in other words, we'll eventually get the Spider-Man movies on Disney Plus with all the other Marvel stuff, but it'll take a little longer.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yep. You'll like this one, maybe. Apparently, they gave a little more info on the upcoming director's cut of Rocky IV.
And there's a director's cut of Rocky IV?
Yes, and it's officially being retitled. It's not going to be called Rocky IV. It's going to be called Rocky versus Drago.
Really?
Yeah.
This is where they're getting rid of the robot.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. So it'll have a new title. So clear some space on your shelf, my friend.
I mean, I have the complete collection. I'll definitely add this one to it. That's not an issue.
Well, that's what I meant by clear some space.
Yep.
In unsurprising news.
Oh, I'm sorry. But while we're talking about Rocky real quick.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Were you just going to bring this up or?
No.
Okay, so they are making a Creed 3. But Stallone will not be in it.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah. So yeah, they just want to move forward with the Apollo Apollo Creed's son. I can't think of his name now, but they want Austin Creed, I think it is. Oh no, Austin Creed was a wrestler. Never mind. But apparently it's supposed to come out in November 2022. They just want to build the story around the Creed character without Rocky.
Gotcha.
Which seems like a fucking mistake to me.
Well, I didn't know if it was that or if like they were getting tired of Stallone weighing in and they were like, let's just ice this guy out.
Well, no, he wrote the last one. He wrote Creed 2, so.
Doesn't mean they still have to like him, though.
That's true. Creed 2 was phenomenally better than Creed 1. Just throwing that out there.
Good.
Anyways,
in unsurprising news, Knuckles is coming to the second Sonic movie.
It's not a surprise.
Yeah, somebody had a set photo and they had like the plastic stand-ins for Sonic and Tails and Knuckles all standing there on the street. So
cool.
No surprise. I'm excited, though. I really like the first movie, so I'm looking forward to the second one. This is odd. We've heard this happen a couple of times, but it seems that now they've actually inked a deal and they're moving forward. Hulu is going to be doing a How I Met Your Father. It's going to be a 10-episode first season, and Hilary Duff is going to be taking over the lead. She'll be Sophie, a woman in the near future, who tells her son the story of how she met his dad. It says most of the series will take place in 2021, focusing on Sophie and her close friends.
Okay.
And the original creators of How I Met Your Mother, Carter Bays and Craig Thomas, will be executive producing the spinoff.
Okay.
Yep. So that'll be interesting. We've heard this a number of times. I think we even saw like part of a pilot, didn't we? For How I Met Your Father. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so. But
let's see. We covered that. Oh, I'm excited for this one. Hold on. I got to click this. Doom Patrol, the next season. Have you even caught up on Doom Patrol? Have you finished season 2?
I have not.
Okay, you need to, because it's a fucking great show. And they've added a host of new actors for the third season. Dubbed the Sisterhood of Data. The show has just added Micah Joe Parker as Malcolm, Wynn Everett as Shelley Byron, a.k.a. The Fog, Miles Munderson as Lloyd Jefferson, a.k.a. Frenzy, Anita Kalthara as Holly McKenzie, a.k.a. Sleepwalk, and Gina Hirazumi as Sachiko, a.k.a. The Quiz. Then they also had announced earlier Sebastian Croft and Ty Tennant have been enlisted to play Edwin Payne and Charles Roland, the Dead Boy Detectives, a pair of characters who are basically teen ghost detectives that investigate mysteries of the living. The characters have some ties to Doom Patrol and Alice via the Children's Crusade. Also starring in the cast in the upcoming season is Chilling Adventures of Sabrina star Michelle Gomez. You may also know her as Missy from Doctor Who, who is coming on as Madame Rouge, with her role being described as a complicated and electrifying eccentric who arrives at Doom Manor with a very specific mission. If only she could remember it. Love this show. Love this. They're really going all out. Also, we finally got plot details on The Continental.
Oh, okay. And
it says Ian McShane has said he will not be reprising his role as the assassin hotel owner, Winston, because The Continental is going to take place 21 years before the John Wick movies and star a young Winston and talk about how he first rose up and built the Continental into what it is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It says The Continental Season 1 is consisting of 3 90-minute episodes. So basically we're getting like a Sherlock kind of thing.
Oh, what's that going to be on? Is that Netflix, right?
Sounds like that. I believe it is Stars.
Oh, fucking Stars.
Yep, pilot for Stars.
Oh, well.
Yep. So that might be another one that comes out and it's like, oh, we'll wait for it to be available somewhere else. Okay.
Yeah, basically.
This last one is news that I know you will appreciate because you worked in this industry like I did. A Texas resident named Karen McBride learned that she was charged with a felony.
Oh, Jesus. This is such a fucking joke.
I love this. She was charged with felony embezzlement of rented property in March of 2000 while running into a problem with the DMV when she was trying to change her name on her license. She has no recollection of renting a VHS copy of Sabrina the Teenage Witch 21 years ago.
Yeah.
She believes that her boyfriend at the time had two younger daughters, was the culprit. So basically, yeah, a felony. She was charged with a felony because
this is such a joke.
The VHS tape was never returned. I laughed a lot.
I did too, but then I was like, this is the bullshit where people go, oh, look, $175 in late fees on my account. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You never returned the movie and it got sold to your account. That's how that happens. Like, and who's even around to prosecute that? Like, who's the victim in this? In this case?
They mentioned another case where 2016, a man was pulled over for a broken taillight. That's when he learned that he had a warrant out for his arrest because he was charged with a misdemeanor for not returning a copy of Tom Green's Freddy Got Fingered.
To what video store that doesn't exist anymore?
Right. Exactly.
That's the big thing. You know what I mean? Like,
because you and I both know that if there is nobody there to press charges, if there is no complainant, there's no crime.
Right. And even if there is a warrant, there's no victim anymore. The victim doesn't exist.
Exactly.
And quite frankly, if Blockbuster was still around or whatever video store was still around that she rented from, they probably wouldn't give a shit at this point.
Nope. They would not.
Yeah, that's a bunch of garbage.
It is a bunch of garbage. Delicious garbage.
What else you got? Anything?
That's it. Time for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
No, the Academy Awards were last night.
Like I said, it's time for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I did not watch them, but
apparently nobody did. It was the lowest rated ones ever.
Yeah, I know. I read that. They only had 9.85 million viewers. So, I mean, people still watched. People just don't give a shit anymore, I guess. I don't know. Nomadland cleaned up.
Yeah.
They won Best Picture. Chloe Zhang got Best Director, or Zhao got Best Director, and Frances McDormand got Best Actress for a garbage shit movie.
Well, you might want to take a trip to China, because apparently China went and censored everything on their internet saying that she won. They don't like her very much.
Oh, well, I guess they don't have to. I don't know. She's directing the Eternals.
Yes, Marvel. Yep. I did not like this movie. We both went on record as saying we did not like this movie at all.
I didn't like this movie at all. I didn't like this movie. I didn't like Promising Young Woman. I can't believe that got directed for a Best Picture. That wasn't very good at all.
I thought you liked Promising Young Woman.
No, I didn't. There was so many plot holes in it. Like what they implied in the no, I did not like this movie. What they implied in the trailer of her murdering people, she just gave them a stern talking to. No, it was not good at all. Judas and the Black Messiah, that should have won. That was excellent. The Trial of Chicago 7, that was excellent. I Never Saw the Father, where Anthony Hopkins won Best Actor in The Father, becoming the oldest person to win the Best Actor Oscar. He was 83. And I guess in his speech, he played homage to Chadwick Boseman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that was cool. Let's see here. Best Supporting Actor was Daniel Kaluuya. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he played Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah.
Gotcha.
That was so I can get behind that. And then Best Supporting Actress went to a Korean actress. I'm not going to try her name for a movie called Minari. So, yeah. Best Original Screenplay was Promising Young Woman. Best Adapted Screenplay was The Father. And then the rest of the award. Oh, Soul won Best Animated Feature. And I can get behind that. That was an excellent movie.
That was, yes.
Yeah. And they also won for Best Original Score, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then Best Original Song went to Fight For You from Judas and the Black Messiah. So the rest are all technical awards I don't give a shit about.
Right.
Best Visual Effects, Tenet. That actually makes a lot of sense.
I still have yet to watch that, but it's coming on HBO soon, so I will.
Okay, you should watch it. So
I was planning on it. You telling me that I should watch it isn't going to change the fact that I was already going to watch it.
You should watch that movie.
Yes, again, moot point, because I already said I was going to watch it. So if you say you should watch it, you're wasting your time.
You know what I haven't watched?
A good movie.
Mulan. I should watch that.
The live action one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't, I know you didn't care for it, but you love the cartoon.
Yeah.
What was it? Kanan the other day, what did he say? I said something about this book, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's a real good book. I went, did you read that? No, but I heard it was a good book, and I almost crashed the van.
I think you should have told him to unbuckle his seatbelt and then crash the van.
And so I said, don't ever say that again. Why?
Especially
I'm like,
in that particular order.
It makes you sound so just stupid. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good whatever, but I've never seen, read, watched, or done anything with it, but I heard it was good. No.
Ask him how silly it would sound to say, oh, that cake is delicious. Oh, you had some? No.
Nope, never ate it.
But somebody else said that it was delicious.
Yep. That's the equivalent. Thought you'd appreciate that. I was like, wait till I tell Uncle John. Why would you tell him that? Because
I kind of want to just come over to the house and cuff him upside the head. Be like, don't ever say that again. They'd be like, what? You know what you said. And then just leave. God.
Remember we earlier were talking about training someone, and you know, no matter how hard you train someone, it just doesn't work out.
Yes.
Or how many different people train this one person, it just doesn't work out. Without naming any names, I had this guy I was training in dispatch when I worked at the city of Augusta, and I had a turn of training him, and then cousin Will did, and then Andrew, and then Bob, and then Rankins, and he ended up back with me, and it just wasn't working out. And in the interim, because he couldn't work any overtime in dispatch, and he needed some extra money, he went and got a part-time job up at Linens and Things, where you were the store manager, and we would sit. John and I would sit and just talk about how terrible this person was as an employee, apparently no matter where he worked.
Yep.
And my all-time favorite, this is my ex-wife at the time, used to love to go up and shop at Old Navy for hours on end. So I would go into Linens and Things and just hang out with John while he was working. So I walked in the store, and I must have been in the store for 10 or 15 seconds when I heard the most hellacious crash and glass-breaking noise I've heard in a long time. So I beeline over to see what's going on because I'm nosy. And right about the same time I arrive at the scene of the crash. You arrived at the scene of the crash. So we can both see this entire Yankee Candle glass end cap had just completely collapsed to the ground because the person that was just putting up the display didn't secure the shelves properly.
Rookie mistake.
And I just love the fact it was this guy that wasn't working out well for me and wasn't working out well for you, and he's down on the floor cleaning it up, and he turns and looks back. And when he sees both of us standing there, I've never seen someone's face just turn to crush and misery so hard in my life.
Oh, it was this guy was devastated because these were two people who were supervisors, who were trainers at two separate jobs that he was struggling at, both in the same spot, just looking at him amidst a pile of failure. And he
knew it. His shoulders sunk, his head. I mean, like, it was hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious for me and you, but for him, it was just, he was just, this was, I think we legitimately witnessed the worst day of his life ever up until that point. It could have been worse since then. I don't know.
It's quite possible.
I've just never seen someone so crestfallen in my entire life and disappointed and just,
and it was broken glass and wax everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Just, and he just, he, all he could mutter was a, oh, or something when he saw us both. And he just went, well, person's name, thanks for doing this now while he was here. Saved me a phone call later.
It's so true, because you know that I would have had to call you up and say, you're not going to believe what blank did.
And I think the best part when you were like, hey, we just hired a guy that says he works in dispatch. Do you know blank? And I go, oh, God, good luck with that. And you're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. And then like a day later, holy cow. Yep. Trying to teach this guy to save lives.
Except I didn't say cow.
Exactly.
Go with a little Christmas story there. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was still the that makes me chuckle. I've never seen someone so defeated in my life.
Oh, God.
It's when he looked back and saw both of us standing there.
Yep.
I just disappointed all my dads at once. No, anyways. Oh, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. If you don't want to hear about it, go away. But if you do want to hear about it, then you're going to hear about how we got a new Captain America.
Like to hit, hit, go.
So, we got a new Captain America.
Oh, dude. Like, as you were saying that, I just scrolled down my newsfeed, and I see this thing that says, Marvel replaces Steve Rogers with Sam Wilson on Captain America's social media pages.
Really?
Hmm.
Well, he is Captain America now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honestly not disappointed by it at all.
Oh, no. No, I was happy to be wrong, because I will admit that, you know, I said that on this podcast a few times. Nope, not going to happen. Yep. Nope, he's not going to do it.
Nope. But, I mean, they just really, I mean, basically the episode opens with him putting on, like, we find out in the case is the new Captain America suit, like the white one from the comics with his head wrap, and he's got his, you know, his Falcon wings, of course, and he's got the shield. And, yeah, it's basically his new flight suit is a Captain America suit. And he heads to New York. Much
further, can I just say this episode, the entire episode went at about 90 miles an hour.
Oh, that's the thing. It was non-fucking-stop.
Yeah, this was the climactic battle throughout the whole episode. Like, everything was just like battle on top of battle on top of racing and stunts. And it's like they saved up their budget for this episode.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, okay, this is what I find interesting. Sam shows up in New York because the Flag Smashers are going to be there and to, you know, attack the GRC, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the police are there and they've got the place locked down and surrounded and soldiers and this and that. And Sam's flying in and fucking Bucky, as Winter Soldier, just walks on up. Yep. And the police step out of his way.
Yep.
Like he's got that kind of stroke, does he? Yeah. And Sharon Carter's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's there. She's
with her little stealth face mask thing. I like that.
Which I had just seen Black Widow using in Winter Soldier, Captain America, Winter Soldier. So when the kids and I watched it the night before, Batroc's there. You know, he wants to kill Batroc Wilson. But he Batroc gets killed by Carter. Yep. When Carter's talking to Carly. And basically they reveal what I had called earlier in this season, which is she's the power broker.
Yep. Yep. Well, she reveals it to Carly. Well, Carly already knew.
Yes.
And she's like, look, come back, work for me. You know, you can make decent money. And then Batroc comes in. He's like, wait a minute. Did I just hear that you're the power broker? Well, you're going to pay me four times as much. Like, I mean, kudos to him for really, you know, jumping on this. He you know, pun intended. He didn't go for double. He went for four times as much.
And then he got shot in the face for his efforts. Yeah,
he got a down payment in lead. Ba-dum.
No, but basically, I mean, you're right. This episode went 90 miles an hour. You know, the Flag Smashers, they shut down the GRC. They forced people to evacuate even after Wilson's like, don't let them evacuate. They evacuate. They get down into armored transport vehicles to be pulled out of there, which is taken over by the Flag Smashers, and the back doors are sealed. And then they got to hunt them down. And then, you know, Sam has an amazing, like, aerial chase with a helicopter, which is really cool. And, you know, Bucky chases down the armored vehicles and starts fighting off all the other super soldier people, all the other Flag Smashers, the super soldier serum. You know, it's good stuff. And then who shows up?
Are you asking me or
I'm asking you? Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, the former Captain America, John Walker, shows up,
and he's in his Captain America gear with his own homemade shield
that didn't last very long.
No, it didn't. But his character, tremendous redemption already in this episode. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't drag that story out at all. They like, all right, we made him Cap. When Sam was given his big speech at the end to the GRC people, I thought fuck for sure he was going to point at John Walker and be like, and the pressure you put on him was unfair and unrealistic or something. Like, I kept expecting that, just the way his promo was going that he was cutting, which was fucking amazing, by the way. But no, John Walker gets his redemption when, instead of stopping the Flag Smashers, he saves the people. You know, he tries to save the people in the armored vehicle that Carly tried to drive off the edge of this construction building, I'm assuming. Doesn't matter.
There's always a building under construction in these shows so that they can.
Well, because it's New York and there's always a building under construction in New York. So it's actually believable. What do you think about Sharon's the one that killed Carly?
I liked it. I liked that. I like her turn as a heel. Like, she's really leaning into it. And even at the end there, when she
the mid-credit scene.
Yeah. So basically she gets her pardon, you know, because Sam said, I haven't forgotten my promise. And he obviously goes through with it because they give her a full pardon and she walks out on the phone and she's like, start lining up the buyers. I'm about to have access to a bunch of weapons and tech. And we may not have super soldiers anymore, but we're going to make some money.
Yeah. She's got the full pardon and her job back at the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she's to, mix both of her loves.
Yep. DeFontaine gives Walker his, US agent uniform and calls him US agent.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we're going to see him as U.S. agent going forward. Again, they really told a big story in his life in six episodes.
Yeah. But you get a figure. Think about it this way. Those are 6 one-hour episodes.
Yeah.
You know, most origin stories for these Marvel characters happen in one movie.
Yes.
You know, Iron Man happened in one movie. Hulk happened in one movie. Thor. You know,
realistically, we just got Wanda's origin story in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Like, her complete origin story.
So on the one hand, you're like, boy, they really, you know, wrapped him up in six episodes, but they actually gave him like triple the time that, say, Iron Man got to introduce them and set them on their path.
Correct. Yes. Yes, we did. We did. There was a 3 Super Soldier enhanced, if you will, Flag Smashers left that Barnes and Walker and company captured. They were being sent to the raft, but Zemo's butler had them exploded, blew them up.
Yep.
They basically implied that there's still people, there's still members of the Flag Smashers still kind of ingrained in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like the big thing, of course, is Sam giving his big speech to the senators of the GRC about the forced relocation of displaced people and everything else. And I'm not going to try and even say what he said, because, you know, that was beautifully written. And just, you should just go watch it if you haven't seen it already.
Yeah. What are you doing listening to us? You should be watching this.
Basically. Bucky goes and tells his elderly friend there that he killed his son.
Yes.
So that was cool.
And now his book is complete.
Yep.
Which he leaves to the psychologist. He like leaves it to her and says, thanks, doc.
Yeah. I like how the kid goes, hey, it's Black Falcon. And he gets corrected. No, that's just not Black Captain America. That's Captain America.
Yeah.
And talks about being Captain America. And, you know, old Isaiah Bradley gets a little teary eyed. And then Sam shows up and brings him to the Smithsonian. And now there's this Captain America section on Steve Rogers. And then now there's a section on Isaiah Bradley and what he did.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. That was nice.
Oh, yeah. And it set his grandson there up, you know, to be his role in the Young Avengers.
Yep.
if that happens.
Yes. Kinda
like they set up the guy who Sam was talking to, who I forgot his name again.
Torres or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Set him up to possibly be Red Wing down the road.
Yep. And I think one of my favorite scenes actually is when we get like kind of the little montage at the end where Sam's back at home in Louisiana and his family's there, you know, with him. Mm-hmm. And after he cuts his whole promo and Walker walks off, and before we get all that stuff, someone yells, Hey, Captain America, or hey Cap. And it's he's like, hey, one of the Flag Smashers, the one with the helicopter, he's in the Hudson, they got him. Is there any chance you can help us out and head over there and scoop him up? And he's like, absolutely. So he has been accepted as Captain America. Mm-hmm. I like it when the news media said, did the government assign you as Captain America? And he didn't even acknowledge it. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Because you know who did? Captain America. Steve Rogers said, this is the new Captain America. That's really all that matters.
Exactly.
But I did like how Bucky was down there hanging out with Sam and his family and just like being like, because we thought this was going to be a buddy cop series the whole time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't until like the end finally. Right. But that really, I think, will set up, because aren't they doing a second season of this?
It's possible. The only thing that they've confirmed so far, which was just recently confirmed, is that they've now begun work on Captain America 4.
Well, I think they've already been working on it, quite frankly.
They probably had it set up, but this is the first official announcement that it's coming.
Yes.
And that it's going to be Sam. They said this could possibly be Chris Evans returning to the role of Steve Rogers, because it's been rumored lately that he is coming back in some capacity as Steve Rogers. So that could be part of this movie. But yeah.
I did like how at the end they did the credit, the title card again, but it said Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty awesome. Yep. And like, so you said, they announced
everyone in the MCU. They're like, this is Captain America now. This is not Falcon. This is Captain America.
Yeah. And they did announce that Captain America 4 is going to be Falcon as Captain America. So I'm cool with that. I'm absolutely cool with that.
Goddamn right.
They did a great job telling this story. I'm even cool if we see John Walker as U.S. agent again, like in the movies. Straight.
We have to.
I think so. Well, here's the thing. Either they're going to do another series season of Captain America and the Winter Soldier, or they're going to do a season of U.S. Agent, because they've already brought in Drew Louise Dreyfus as Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, and they've just established him as U.S. Agent. So either they're just going to drop these storylines with them, or, you know,
Or a third option.
What?
They could use him in Secret War.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, they could be setting up some of these side characters to be main characters, or at least, you know, prominent characters in the Secret War series, because Secret War took place all over the planet. You know, this was the Skrull invasion. This was who's real, who's a Skrull, what's going on here. So it could absolutely have a U.S. agent tie,
which would tie into the ending of WandaVision.
Yep.
Yeah, as well. But no, yes. Yep. What I'm saying is we definitely have not seen the end of those characters, you know, DeFontaine and John Walker, U.S. agent, et cetera.
Correct. So, I would agree with that.
But yeah, no, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Worked out real good.
I was a big fan of this show. Now, I guess I'll ask you.
Oh, okay.
Did you like this or WandaVision better? Or do you not have a preference?
You know, honestly, they were two different things.
Yeah, exactly. I don't
think I need to qualify which one I liked better. Not to say I'm not fucking answering you, but just I think that both of them were great and both of them had their own things. Like, I loved WandaVision for how funky and twisted it was and how well it ultimately played on grief. You know, and it really expanded on her powers. It expanded on the entire mythos, the world, and set her up as a possible villain turn. I love this one because it expanded more on the world and it really dealt with some intrinsic racial issues. It dealt with terrorism, and it really, really, it's the first thing beyond like Spider-Man Far From Home, which only kind of touched on it, that really dug into the blip. And what it was like when people reappeared after 5 years. And what does that mean? Because, you know, we had to deal with the aftermath of half the world just vanishing. So this was like, well, what happens when they come back? Because like they said in this last episode, they were like, people just moved on with their lives. People moved into other homes. Like, 5 years had passed and now these people suddenly show up and they want their homes back. Well, I've built a life here.
Right, exactly. Like, sorry, not sorry type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love both of them.
It'll be interesting to see what else they do.
Oh, I can't wait for Loki. Loki's coming up next, and I am so fucking
excited. It sucks that we have to wait till June, though.
I know, but, you know, we got a lot of shows that are going away in May, so we're going to kind of clean the palette, clean the slate for Loki to come in.
Yeah, but realistically for me, like, these Marvel shows take priority. So even if we had a full boat of shows, I would leave something off or skip something to make sure I watched.
Yes, I could
agree. You know, the Marvel shows or the Star Wars shows or whatever. So, but anyhow, I guess that's it for me, though, this week.
I think that's it for me as well.
All right, well, that's our episode. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's us.
That is us.
And yeah.
I guess we'll talk to you all next week.
All right.